You're here. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, again we want to say how grateful we are that we have been allowed to come together in this place. It is really joy unspeakable and full of glory to be in your presence, to know, Lord, that the ends of the world have actually come down upon us. And now all the things that were denied from the Garden of Eden because of sin, all those things are made possible to us so that we are able now to reach forth our hand, at least some of us, and take of the tree of life and live forever. That mortality is giving way to immortality. Nothing is going to stop it. And we just pray, Lord, that we'll get our eyes so upon you, we'll have eyes for nobody else, and we'll understand your grandeur and your glory, Lord, so we'll have no praise for anybody else. But rather, Lord, you will be all things to us, even as we are all things to you. We know, Lord, that that's almost impossible as far as we are here concerned or anybody else through the ages, because we're fallible. But you can make it that way, Lord, and one day it soon will be that way when we pass from time into eternity all the way, even though we're passing even now. And, Lord, that great day as we come together, what a time it's going to be when we do crown you King of Kings and Lord of Lords and sit down at the wedding supper and then enter into those ages that we'll never be able to count them because of your greatness and your goodness, Lord, your infinite capacity, your sovereignty. We'll just never be able to get to the end of it, and thank God for that. We praise you, Lord, that you're so good to us. We just trust somehow now your name might be glorified even a little bit in us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And I don't know if this is number 11 or what it is, because I lose all track of time as to numbers, because we've been going into many other messages, combining them with this. Now, you know that in events made clear by prophecy, that really is self-explanatory on the grounds that the Bible is a book of prophecy, and events have been prophesied, and those events, of course, are for a specific time. That's why Brother Branham always said that there is a measure of the word for every age, and most people can never understand that. That's one of the big stumbling stones in the theology that Brother Branham presented for this hour, which was such a departure from fundamental doctrine. They had dispensations all lined up, but they didn't understand a word for the hour, a measure of the word, a measure of the Holy Spirit. They just didn't understand that. So there is, the Bible is a prophetic book, and you can tell where you're at if you can relate the scripture to the events that you see transpiring. And if those events are there, not just one now, but all the events are there, you know there is a very specific time that God is moving in, and that is your specific time or your particular hour. Not Wesley's, not Luther's, not somebody else's, but your own. Now, at page 19, which where we're ready to start, he says, now look what he's done in this day. Now, he's talking of events of this hour made clear as we see them in the Word. Now, look what he's done today. Now, if you look at what he's done today, then there's something in the Word that places this, the events that are going on, and lets you know exactly what it's all about. Now, he said, now, look what he's done in this day exactly. Now, what does it mean by the what is done in this day? And then he says, exactly. Well, the actual fact of the matter is that he's giving you an understanding of what he just previously said, that there is now an exact parallel, something is going on exactly as it did at a previous time. So I got to go back onto page 18 and reading in paragraph, oh, I suppose it's 101, 102. John said, I'm not worthy to unloose his shoes, but there's one standing among you somewhere. He'll be the one that'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Now watch now. Now I want you to listen carefully and weigh every single word, because he said, these events are exactly, or exactly a duplicate. Now he said, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. His fan is in his hand, and he'll thoroughly purge the floor, his floor and gas, and burn the chaff with unquenchable fire, take the grain to the garner. Now you'll notice in there that Brother Branham categorically stated that there comes a time when the baptism with the Holy Ghost runs out. Now, you know that's the truth. There's got to come an end time period when the last elect will be baptized in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's what he said. Justification gave way to sanctification. Sanctification gave way to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the baptism with the Holy Ghost gave way to the Holy Ghost himself. So when you are talking about the gift of the baptism with the Holy Ghost, you are not talking about God giving the gift of His Son in this hour in the form of the Holy Ghost. Now, I hope you caught what I said, because I'm talking with the prophet talk, which is 1,000,000 miles from what Pentecostals or fundamental people believe. They do not believe that God has given His Son again in this last day. That's what he said. God, if America could only rally behind the gift. Not William Branham, not his discernment, not his ministry, but the gift which is the Son in the form of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Now, I very seldom ask an amen, but I want you to know that I know what I'm talking about and what the prophet said, and I want you to know too. Now, if I seem rough, just forgive me. I'm not trying to be rough, but I want you to get this, because people simply don't get it. That's why they don't understand presence. Now, I'm going to give you a statement either today or tomorrow that is so utterly confusing. Yes, made by William Branham, prophet of God, or thus of God, so utterly confusing. I'll read it to you. If you don't know where you stand, your eyeballs will spin and your spirituality will go up, or both ears in a cloud of smoke. I'm not kidding. I'm not up here one to give stupid statements that are so oblique from target and so sensational as to be the mouthing off of a neurotic idiot. I could be all of that, but I'm not going to give that kind of a statement. Now, you notice that John said here that he didn't only say he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost, and that runs out. He said, the fan is in the hand to thoroughly purge the floor and gather the wheat and to burn up chaff. Now, John 2,000 years ago presented the one standing there as the great one who must also stand there and do this very thing. Now, when's he going to do it? When it's ready for the chaff to burn. Now, oh, what a prophet. Jesus said there never was a man born of a woman as great as he. Now, to that day. You know that counts Moses? Counts them all. Oh, how blusterous. That's a pretty good word. Either that means it's wonderful or you'll blow your top to think of it. Or you'll blow up like a toad full of buckshot because you don't want to take it. That's not a bad statement, Brother Branham used. Oh, he knew where he was standing. That's John the Baptist. He knew exactly, he had heard from God, and it was exactly with, and was exactly with the Word. That's the Bible. And I want to ask a question. How many scripture was John with? Thousands and thousands and thousands of verses. Over 40 authors and taken 1,600 years to produce this book. Maybe there's 4 or 5 verses about John, and that's all. You say, what about the New Testament? That's merely reiteration or explaining what was in the Old. So you see, sometimes you've got to be satisfied with very little, and very little is very much. As Brother Brown has said, one word from God is more than millions of words from all the men in this world. So you see, when you're looking around for some great compendium or some tomb that God might have written, something to, oh, something vastly greater, even in this Bible, because there's a, oh, a great bunch of material. I got news for you. Forget it. You got to be satisfied with what is to be the truth. What is the truth? See? But he was with the Word, and just a few verses all it took. So he didn't care what people said. He preached it and prophesied it anyhow. Preach what? Preached about himself. All people hate that. Or they can't stand that. Well, you can be the grand poobah of some lodge or something. That's all right. So, see? He preached the scripture concerning himself, the same that Jesus did. What if a man came on the scene today, a great prophet, and did the same thing? Or they'd get rid of him too. And watch, when a man stands for what is truth, then God's obligated to vindicate that man the truth. In other words, if a man stands with the truth, God is obligated to identify that man with the truth or the scripture that said and back up that scripture and consequently backs up the man. So John came and said, I'm the voice of one crying. And Jesus turned right around and said, that's the voice of one crying. And remembers the ministry of Jesus that vindicated Jesus to give him the ability to vindicate John. Because John didn't have one miracle. He just came with the scripture. See? Now, exactly, Brother Branham said. Now, what's the exactness? So we've accounted for John the Baptist of what Brother Branham is talking about in events made clear by Scripture in this hour. So John the Baptist is there. What's number two? When Moses came down there in Egypt and said, I was in the wilderness yonder, and I saw a tree on fire, and it didn't consume. I went up to the tree, and when I did, there was a great pillar of fire hanging in there, and a voice said, I am that I am. Why, he said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I've heard the cries of my people, and it's time to bring them out. And so Moses ran off with that. You and I would sit there in doomsday, wanting God to fill a book here, and fill a book there, and fill another book. Say, blah, 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 blah. One word of God's enough. God backs that word up. His brother Branham said, you go down to Africa, and he was there. He just one time showed the people the power of God and discernment and those things, and thousands came to Christ. But he gave it thousands of time in America. He was like, ha, 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 ha. They laughed in derision. Bald-haired women. They laughed in derision when the prophet said, every year he said, I'm like the doctor, he said, trying to force the medicine down your throat. He said, I'll hold your nose and open your mouth, pry your mouth and pour the medicine in, and you spit it out. And he said, every year I come back, you're worse. He said, ha, 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 ha. That cackle. Yeah. Blaspheming the Holy Ghost. You say what you want. I'll stick with my narrow views. And there's some more to find in my life. He told me to take this stick and come down here and perform these miracles, and God will vindicate his word. He stretched out his stick there, come fleas and flies and darkness and so forth. And now listen, and then to vindicate that prophet, he brought those believers right back to the mount, and God came down in the same pillar of fire, right on the same mountain, proved that what was right. And Brother Branham categorically said, it's a parallel in this hour. And since God commanded, according to the people's own desire, that they should not see the pillar of fire again, there's the picture right there, he said, the camera took it. Amen. You do what you want. Now, I said the same thing. You say he's not here except in the baptism. I think you better have your Pentecostal heads examined, spiritually speaking. Your fundamental understanding is destroying you. He said, just as soon as a nation came out of a nation, he took him back to Mount Sinai, and there the pillar of fire appeared. He said the same thing today. Man can't see it, only a prophet. The best man can see is a reflection. Otherwise, God would be a liar, wouldn't back his own word up. What'd you do? He didn't circumvent his word, didn't bypass his word, but he had a way of doing it. So the word would hold. He had a camera, the eye of a camera. Brother Ben said, the eye of a camera. That I could take it. Right there's another. We'll talk about that. If we won't get there tonight. Forget it. We won't get there tomorrow morning either. Two or three more messages down the road, we'll get there, I suppose. It proved right. Is it that proved right?
Amen.
George E. Lacy said, only scientific picture ever taken of a supernatural being.
Amen.
So I just can't believe that's God. You believe what you want. Be my guest. Remember, the same prophet said God did not only appear in signs and wonders down there in Egypt, but he himself appeared. The baptism of the Holy Ghost brings on signs and wonders, and God appearing in signs and wonders, but that's not God himself. That is. So that's the picture, you say. Do what you want. Well, that's not your idea. Wouldn't be mine either. But dare to shun it. Some people have reverence and awe, some don't have any. Now he said here, now look what he's done in this day. Exactly the same as under John and under Moses. One was a personal introduction and a human flesh. One was a pillar of fire. On the road to Damascus, Paul was struck down, and the voice said, why do you persecute me, Saul? And he said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus. He had turned back to a pillar of fire. As Paul the Apostle said, henceforth, now know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more after the flesh. But you will still stick to your theories and understanding, won't you? Even the Trinitarians know he came back with the Holy Ghost. Or the Trinitarians went up, back. They're the same everywhere. Oneness in the whole bunch. They can't differentiate the baptism with the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost himself. It never said he came back as the baptism with the Holy Ghost. It says he came back as the Holy Ghost. Amen. And there's only one the Holy Ghost, and that's God. And Brother Branham called him Elohim. He also called him Jehovah. Now look what he's done in this day, exactly. Now the word came to the prophet and vindicated him to be the true person, the very person that the scripture said he would be. What's he talking about, Elijah, this hour? Quickly now. But again, Jesus came in a different form. What different form? Is he talking about a form, or is he talking about a manner? Well, I think it's more manner than an actual form in this case. Because Israel was looking for a Messiah. They were looking for a king who would sit upon the throne of David. They were looking for someone to knock the Roman government out of their lives once and for all, and they would take over the world. And they'd be like David once more, the kingdom under David. Because it'd be David's greater son sitting upon the throne. They were looking for that. They weren't looking for a bleeding, dying lamb to redeem Israel from sin. They were looking for a mighty king to come and redeem them from politics. Yeah. Brother, sister, we'd like to be redeemed from politics. I would, but may God help me to understand that's nothing. Forget the politics. Get redeemed from sin, from this immortal curse that's upon us, to get into immortality. Now, Jesus came in a different form. That's Messiah. From their man-made interpretation of the prophecy. That's exactly right, because they understood the prophecy in the sense there would be somebody. Man had interpreted what it would be, certainly. The Presbyterians think that it ought to be them. Notice when God does anything, watch every organization rise up. Yeah, yeah, always been that way. They got a Janus and Jambers everywhere. Notice, they said part of the word, but according to the prophet's word, every letter. Now notice here, the time of the Exodus, you'd have Moses, you'd also have the introduction of the one who is the bridegroom. Now, he says here, the Presbyterians, they'd like to think they're right. Methodist, Baptist, of course, it's a whole thing all lined up in that point there. Now, organization can only imitate. They cannot do anything of themselves. Man hasn't got the ability to ordain anybody, and that's what organization does. They are there to ordain and imply that an authority has been imputed, and therefore now you go ahead because you're in an organization, a denomination. That won't work. Tell me what person or what persons, rather what persons, organization, ordained Jesus Christ. Not anybody except God. Amen. You show me any organization can vote authority upon a John the Baptist, or upon a Jesus Christ, upon an Elijah, upon a William Branham. It can't be done. They can't do it. They got Janus and Jambers. Now that doesn't only refer to the charismatic, though that's true. But Janus and Jambers refers to the spiritual leaders. Because they were the spiritual leaders that old Pharaoh had at his behest. See? Now notice in here that these people do not deny the word of God in whole. They only deny the word of God in part. And that denial is not necessarily to them a denial. No way, shape, and form. No, they don't deny. They misinterpret, and the misinterpretation is a denial of the truth that this person brings. See, they deny that that person is right in what he says about that portion. And they'll argue till death comes, and that's the way it was in Egypt. Death came. Now, in paragraph 105, it said, they missed it again as usual, called him a fortune teller, a devil, Beelzebub, and said he made himself God when they ought to have known by their very Bible that he was God. That's true. Why? Because the Bible said Emmanuel, God with us. And he'd be called the mighty God, the everlasting Father, King of kings, Lord of lords, and so on. They knew that, see? All right. Now, and notice again here, I brought this up previously, where their understanding, which was a misunderstanding, and a misinterpretation of scripture brought them. It brought them to the priest, where they accused God of being the devil. Now the question arose as I've tried to show you. Nobody could invest Jesus with the authority that he had. The power that he had. Nobody could do it. How could a church ever invest Jesus Christ with power? They couldn't do it. So the answer, the question comes, by what authority or what power is this man operating? And the people in Matthew 12 said, is not this the son of David? And the Pharisee said, no, this is not the son of David. This is that other son. This is not that one. This is Antichrist. Now, they understood the coming of a wicked one. The Jews still do. I still got to play that taker of the ashes of the red heifer. Never have played it here, but you simply got to play it. So you'll understand what is being believed right now. The most unmitigated malarkey you have ever heard in your life. And the whole world is full of it. It's strictly perverted. They got the devil creating. It's an eye-opener. It really is a great eye-opener. We'll have to play it. I just won't promise you we're going to have to do it. So I'll put that down. We'll get that done. Now, notice they made him the devil. He was prophesied by Isaiah 9:6, his name called the Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And then Brother Branham comments, there aren't going to be any more fathers after that. Because he was the first father in the beginning, he's the only father, and he said, don't you call any man on this earth father, either after that. He's the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Counselor, and the Prince of Peace, which he certainly was. Now, as I said already, he's still that. The same fatherhood in the pillar of fire is now in the form of the same pillar of fire under sonship. That's what he said. Now, not quoting anything but what the prophet said. You say, son of man, son of God, son of man. Then son of David. Alright? Now, son of God, according to the spirit of holiness and power that raised him from the dead. Form of the Holy Ghost. Now, he's the form of the Holy Ghost and a pillar of fire, but the office is sonship. Carrying on. Right at this very moment. Now, that's according to the prophet, not according to Levi. Maybe hard to understand. Just put it in your heart and leave it there because that's the truth. The Counselor, Prince of Peace, certainly. Now, they have done to him what all the prophets knew that they would do. Just as they are doing, now listen, just as they are doing in the Laodicean age, put him out of the church. Blind, naked, and don't know it. Just what the prophet said, the prophet of the Bible. Blinded by man's traditions, they put him out, the word out of their churches, as usual, as prophesied of them. Now, he's telling you here, he's going to repeat in this hour. Now, you've got to keep in mind that Brother Branham said that he was obligated to appear to the Gentiles in the form of the Holy Ghost and do in the form of the Holy Ghost, which is in the Spirit, what he did when he was on earth and in the flesh and did for Israel. That's Matthew 4 and chapter 12 also. And we've gone into that time after time. So, therefore, he is here now. Not the baptism. But the great baptizer himself, still baptizing people into Christ, hopefully. But here now, right now, and the church makes it the spirit of hell. Yeah. The same people that will not deny the Bible, now they won't deny the Bible, and they say the Bible is the Word of God, pure and simple, we believe it, but believing it wrong, have no recourse but to come to this place. As we taught you before, as Brother Branham said it. There are those who do know, those who don't know, and those who are undecided as to what it is. Now, that's three again. Where do the people stand? Well, they stand in one of those three groups. Really two groups, but you know how it is. Those that don't know aren't necessarily as bad off as those who come against it. But you see, they're both losers. And if you're a loser with God, you don't make that first resurrection. And you're in danger of the second. Okay? Now, notice, now, quickly now, don't miss this. Here's the text, how Jesus made himself known to those two disciples that he was their Messiah. Now, he said, all eyes this way, because he's getting down to the heart of it, where he's going to show exactly how the Scripture today is identified in its complete fulfillment as it was back there. See, he's looking at it. Okay. Now, all eyes this way, and out in the land, don't miss us now. She's on telephone hookup. We've tried to tell you that the Bible is the Word of God, written by God himself through the lips and instrumentality of man. Wonder what's that? Hebrews 1:1, God and the prophets. God can write himself. God can speak himself. God can do what he wants to. But he chose man to do it because the man that wrote it is part of God. Now, you notice right in there, he tells you the prophet is a part of God. That's why he said the prophet is the living Word of God made manifest. Now, I didn't say the whole Word of God made manifest. It says that each prophet has a part. Each prophet was a part, not the whole of it. Only Jesus was the whole Word. So, God wrote the Bible. Now, listen. The men didn't even know what they were writing in their own human thinking. Now, watch. They might disagree with it. In other words, they might not agree, though they wrote it. They couldn't. The Bible said men of old, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, God moved their hands. Now watch now. God moved their hands, moved their eyes in the vision. They could say nothing but what they were looking at. Now Brother Branham categorically said that he was the only one who could tell it as he saw it. Anybody else could have a vision and blow it. Anybody else could hear something and blow it. The only one who could tell it as he saw it, the only one who could tell it as he heard it. That shows perfect recall by the Holy Ghost, not photographic mind. No trick that human mind can do. They could speak, they could say nothing but what they were looking at. They could speak nothing because he had full control of the tongue, finger, every organ of the body was in full sway with God. That's what Brother Branham said to me in 64, all my thoughts are of God. Now someone said, that's sure braggadocio, that guy's sure bragging. Well, if he couldn't say that, what kind of a prophet was he?
Amen.
Who needs him? Look, if we're looking for just some run-of-the-mill type of fellow, why bother? Who needs it? I can get a guy with a photographic mind, this, that, and the other thing. In fact, I was interested in doing the seals all over, like I did the church ages, but I wasn't going to alter one thing, just use his own language. I was going to hire a man for $10,000, which I could have got back in those days, with a photographic mind. I said, read this book. Now, I want you to tell me every place where this sentence is, and this thought, this thought, this thought. When I got everyone down, I'd compare where they looked the best, and then cut the rest out. We'd have a abbreviated book. Not one word really missing. The other way's better, though. See? There's nothing that man has in himself. No wonder the Bible said they were gods. They were a part of God. That's another repeat. But he was the fullness of God. See, they were a part of the Word, which is the manifestation of God. Now, remember, God can manifest in signs and wonders. God can manifest himself. See, we have that in our day. Notice how Jesus the Word made those two broken-hearted disciples know he was their Messiah. The Messiah, the promised Word. Not somebody's idea now, but the real one. Notice what he did. He appealed to prophecy. See? Now this is what he's getting at. See? And tells all people, just keep your eyes straight now, because I want to get into this subject real strong. Now he said, fools, slow to believe all that the prophets wrote. He never said, well, what does the church say about it? They gave him the story. They knew all the events that happened. They were all sad. They began to tell him, are you just a stranger here, or don't you know what's happened in Jerusalem? And he said, what things? Like you didn't know. See? He does some things sometimes. He does things sometimes just to see what you'll do about it. See? Said, what things? Who was it? What happened? They said, are you just a stranger? And we're talking right to the man they'd lived with for 3.5 years and didn't know him. Now, a lot of folk claim to be full of the Holy Ghost for 50 years. Bless God, got the baptism 50 years ago. And a prophet comes on the scene, they don't recognize him. Come on, what kind of baptism Holy Ghost you got anyway? You ain't got what I got, I'll tell you that flat. I'm not boasting, Chad. The minute I saw Brother Branham, I said, something said, that's a man you better listen to. And I stayed with that. I got a funny kind of patience. Most people don't have it. My patience is I can wait and wait and wait for the Word. Oh, I get sometimes a little jarred, but not very often. 20 years from one word just spins things around. I waited from the age of 22 when I first started preaching. So what was I, 1963? To really recognize that he was that prophet. To really know, to enter into the part of the ministry that I was to have with him. That's 49 years. So that's 27. Wow. That's 3 times 9, isn't it? I waited that time. Now I got a long time now on top of that. Maybe even more than that. Might have been 49, was it? I don't know. But that's the kind of a patience you got to have sometimes. All right? What happened? They said, are you a stranger talking right to the man they'd lived with 3.5 years and didn't know him? As I say, people have the Holy Ghost 50 years and didn't recognize this was the one that God sent. Now, you know, brother, that doesn't ring a bell. Why, the evidence, the baptism with the Holy Ghost right there, be able if you could pick that man out. See? Well, they said Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet. There's no doubt in our mind. He was mighty in word and deed before all the people. We saw him do things and he was identified the prophet of God for this age. We know that. And we believe that he would be the Redeemer that would redeem Israel. All right? Now, of course, that was redemption to their understanding. See? The king, old king, lived forever. And this one got killed. He said, I'm the king. If you're the king, why don't you save yourself? Come down off the cross, destroy the Roman Empire, and get us out of this mess. They didn't understand scripture, so we're not going to, you know, be against them for that. Now, you see, as I said, they knew some things quite correctly, that he would be king, but they stopped right there. They didn't, they said, well, we don't have to have outside help in this. we're the elect of God. People say, I've got the Holy Ghost. What do I need? Well, if you had the Holy Ghost, you'd know that you're the most needy person in all the world. It's when you haven't got the Holy Ghost and when you're so stubborn and so foolish. You know, you'd climb in. We climb in where with hobnailed boots where angels fear to tread. That's just not a little statement. That's a true statement. See? He turned and said, fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets both said about him wouldn't come to pass? See? Watch it. Now, go back to prophecy. What a rebuke for believers claimed they believed in. See? Now, the same thing today, brother, sister, if I want to take you for you, let me take your minds back. The same thing goes for the rapture. Because everybody's talking about rapture. And they know that there is an appearing and a coming. But they think the appearing is the coming. When the appearing is not the coming. The appearing is now. See? They don't understand. Now, nobody can say they're not believers. But they're not true believers. Or they're not believers that are in the truth. And the truth in them. That makes it very, very bad. Now they claim to believe him. See? How? To believe concerning the scripture concerning him. And what is the scripture concerning him? I'm going to come back and receive you unto myself. Now, we know absolutely, as an exodus took place from Egypt to Palestine, they were to come out. They understood that. But they didn't have a clue as to how it was going to be done. Right, they didn't. See? Now God at that time gave them the understanding. Now we've got an understanding. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and dead in Christ rise first and so on. Now that seems very obvious. But everybody gets stuck on the shout. The Lord himself is going to do it. He's got to do it. Who knows what the shout is? Only one man could tell us. But everybody had his mind made up except a few little bunch of people sitting there, like myself. I was one sitting there. And I told you, I entered in utter unbelief when Brother Branham said the shout is the message. And I said, oh, you know, I told how they came to mind. I said, my God, Brother Branham, I've heard you say a lot of strange things. This is a strange thing. I don't think I can take that. And then I heard this same stupid guy saying, but when was he ever wrong? I said, praise the Lord, shout's the message. I took care of that. Oh, you talk about saving your neck with one fell swoop. That was almost one swell swoop is what it was. Almost I could have blown it. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to be facetious now, but I could have blown it right there. You don't fool with God. Wasn't my smartness that did it, not for 1 minute. No, I wasn't that smart. It was something that God had put in my heart whenever it got to first base on it. See, they claim to believe him. Everybody's looking for a rapture. Millions now living won't die. That's a lot of hogwash. How in the world can millions now living not die when the scripture distinctly says all the world's going to follow the beast? Well, like I keep telling you, what about all this talk? The tracks written years ago. Oh, that the choo-choo train, the great passenger trains in America are going to be going down the track and that godly engineer caught in the rapture and the train go off the track. Fact. There's hardly a train left in America. Now, where's your engineers? Oh, listen, brother, sister. Man will open his mouth and cut his throat every time. Shout's not that at all. It's a message. The gathering to Christ has always been by the prophets, and Jesus Christ was a prophet and still is a prophet. You're not going to get gathered to the king. Come on. That's rapture itself. Yet the king is here. Tell me where God isn't one of his titles, one of his names. Tell me. People, you just get all mixed up. So mixed up is horrible. I don't understand it. Of course, they don't understand how I understand. That's not me. I understand what the prophet said. I do believe. They claim they believed him. No saying they didn't believe him. But they didn't believe what proved out to be correct. By vindication. Notice how he approached the subject. That's 114. He never came right out and said, I am your Messiah. He could have done it, for he was. But notice he identified himself in the word. Then they would know. See, there should be a dash after that comma there. If he would have said it, he could have said it, and that would have been so. But when he went and began to speak on all the prophets said about him, and they saw it, then they could tell for themselves if they were God's children. Now, right there again, you're seeing where evidence is that you're a child of God. Can you recognize the hour in which you live, the events of that hour, and what is said concerning it? Now, I know that right away that the main trust has been and is in this hour the false anointed ones and the great work programs and the great fruit programs and the great grace programs, the great missionary program. Every single thing is great to obscure the person himself. Right, that's the trouble, brother, sister. See? But I want to see what's the true evidence of the Holy Ghost? To know the word of the hour, to believe it. And that's something that's down in here. And remember this, as much as we understand soul winning, missionary programs, everything else, and we do understand that's an integral related part of every message of every age, we must witness. We must live the life and everything else. But when you look at Jesus Christ, remember, the prophet was only too true when he said Jesus looked like a renegade alongside of those kind old priests. Yeah. When you consider who he was and what he could do, he actually did very little to what he could have done, according to us. Therefore, we have to come back to a book. And the only way you can come back... When the world is gone as far as it has to be, wretched, miserable, naked, blind, is to have somebody from God who knows what he's talking about and has proof that he knows what he's talking about so you and I can believe it. When that happens, something has happened to the heart. Something has come into our faith which has not been there previously. See? Now, when they could see it for themselves, then they knew they were children of God. But call their attention to what the prophets had foretold. And said to look for in the time that Messiah, his age would be manifested. All right? What has the scripture said about this age? Now let's stop here, brother, sister, and understand this so we're going to be right on key and right in tune. There were certain things that were said about Messiah for his age. And for John the Baptist. And it wasn't very much. But one statement proven would have been enough. The point is, do you know that one statement? What if there were two statements and three at the most? What if there were many statements and they were all obscure? What if there were a parallelism in Scripture? So that one bunch of Scriptures concerning him ran over here, and another bunch ran over here, which it did. Yeah. In all, smack. Of redemption, because redemption was the great key. But people looking for the wrong kind of redemption. You see, that's what happened today. People are looking for the rapture to take place without, first of all, a genuine repentance or change of mind, which is necessary because everybody's wretched, miserable, naked, blind, and it doesn't say that anybody is exempted. That's what happened at the end time. You say, how could the bride be that way? Very simple. One lump of clay. Election makes the difference. That's all you can put it down to, because that's all God puts it down to. That's all the prophet Paul put it down to. Now, It says Messiah, his age should be manifested. Now remember, Brother Branham is talking about an exact parallel. John and Moses. So therefore, what happened under John must happen now. He must be pointed out as judge. He must be revealed. And he must be here. See? And the scripture has to be fuzzy. Very fuzzy. Why? Because people don't understand it. It's not that they can't read it, but they can't place it. See, now that's the way it's got to be. Why? Because that's the way it was. Amen. Now, at the end time, wretched, miserable, naked, blind, and don't know it. Then how are you going to know Scripture? If you can't come in out of the rain, you don't even know what rain is. True. He is John, let the Word, the Bible, identify their message. Any true prophet would do it. Yeah. He didn't come out and say, I am he, I am. That's not a true prophet of God. See, but he said, go back in the scriptures. See, he never fails his way of doing it. See, now, Brother Branham is still speaking of his own ministry, and he's using this to guide us because he's told us exactly it is today. Moses vindicated. Moses leading him out. Moses giving the word. God having the picture taken. John the Baptist. Very obscure. Very little said. Spirit of Elijah. Just before the burning. Turn the house of children back to fathers. Introduce Messiah. Without introduction, they don't know him. Don't know him. Now remember, in Elijah's day, he said, let's find out who's God, Baal or God. Or Jehovah. Now what if the people today are worshiping the God of their imagination? Well, something's got to happen. He never fails his way of doing it, see. They said, we know Moses. Now listen. He said, if you would have known Moses, you'd have known me. Moses wrote to me. Said, search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life, and the scriptures are what? Testify me. Go and look at the scripture and see. All right. What does the scripture say about Messiah at the end time? What does the scripture say about Elijah at the end time? Because remember, Elijah, he precedes restoration. And after restoration comes the one in flesh. Right? Let's find out. Acts 3rd chapter. I don't use much scripture these days because we're reading what Brother Bannon said. Now he said here in the 19th verse of Acts 3, the middle verse, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. See? And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was proclaimed in advance unto you. In other words, you got the before the physical comes the preaching, comes the message. Whom the heavens must receive until times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets that the world began. What's he been doing? From the very beginning, he's trying to get man restored and brought back. And there'll be one last step he takes, and then man changes. He's gone. Now, this is end time. So it tells you nothing is added to the book, but a prophet comes on the scene with discernment and can get to God and bring you the answers. The vindication that he is that one. So you see the great ministry at the end time, just before he comes in physical flesh to us. Now, Moses wrote him, he searched the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life, and the scriptures are what testify me. Go and look in the scriptures. There's something then in the scripture here that we must be aware of and can be aware of for our day. Here he never changes his way of doing it. Never has changed. He never can change because he's the unchanging God. See, notice he went right back to those two disciples, Cleopas and his friend, the road to Emmaus, and he said, appeal to the scripture to them and said, why are you so foolish not to believe that every word of the prophets wrote concerning the Messiah will have to be fulfilled? Now, of course, he'd have to say that if he was God. He wrote the book. Oh, what a day. John did the same thing. Searched the scriptures. Looked back. Said there'd be a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Where did I come from? See? That should have made it plain to them. Right. Now, Brother Branham continuously spoke of the nature of John the Baptist, thoroughly identified with the nature of Elijah, and Brother Branham in turn
30 identified his nature with the nature of John the Baptist and Elijah. Now, of course, right there, people won't agree. I want to ask you a question. Who knew better than John the Baptist? I want to ask another question. Who identified John the Baptist and vindicated him? Who would do it today? See, people don't want to let their thinking go. Actually, you see, the trouble is, brother, sister, this is not polished enough or intellectual enough to suit our great students with their great minds. It's too corny. Come on, I'm talking to you tonight, not somebody outside the meeting here. The tapes will get out all right, don't worry. I'm talking to them too. But I want to talk to us tonight, because that's what it's all about. I got a loaded shotgun here with three barrels. One points at me and two at you. If we get our head blown off, that's our tough luck. We got too much up there anyway. See? Just too much anyway. So the question comes up. Is this actually a true prophet, William Branham, bringing out such low down understanding of Scripture? Is he twisting things to suit himself? Well, that brings us back again to authority. How can he do the things nobody else could do? How could his ministry make people so Bible these are here again? Why did people write books saying a man sent from God? Why did they say those things? Well, they'd have to say, well, I made a mistake. No, they didn't make a mistake. God can make stones cry out. He can make stony hearts cry out, too. Well, they saw something, but they didn't see the light. The only light they saw was the light of the manifestation of the miracles and the ministry. They did not see the light of the Word. That's why it's been as it is. Now, where'd that come from? That should have made it plain to them, right? The answer is no, not right at all, except to the elect. And the elect say right. That should make it plain. He said, man alive, that little simple explanation in there kind of leaves me cold. Well, you're too red hot with the Word, brother, sister, I can tell you that right now. Notice he began with Moses' prophecy. The Bible said he, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, started with Moses, a prophet. The Lord your God shall raise up among the people, the Lord God will raise up a prophet. Now, I might have said Cleopas and your friend here. Did not Moses say that in these days the Lord would raise up a prophet? And this man that they crucified, did he meet that qualification? Now, Moses prophesied this. And now you haven't had a prophet for hundreds and hundreds of years, and here this man raised up, arose up. And what was this man's forerunner, did he say? Get it? And all the prophets said about him for his age, he spoke to them. It sure would have been interesting to hear him. Wouldn't you like to hear him? I'd like to hear him. What he said that the prophet said about himself, but he never said it was he. He just showed them a prophecy. He just said the prophet said this would happen, see. Now remember, they came one time, they said, tell us plainly, if thou be the Christ. See? Now, Brother Branham is categorically correct here. He explained it a long time ago by saying that Jesus threw curves. And this isn't actually a curve. This really is. But you know, when people say, tell us plainly, it only means one thing in my books. It means they see something, but they're not willing to believe what they're seeing. They're not willing to believe what's behind it. There's no way. Let's go back a few minutes and now listen to the words quoted from himself. Watch here. The Word itself quoting the Word of himself. Now, same today, you see. Brother Branham said, I'm just a voice. The Word itself quoting the Word of himself, not tell them that he was that, but just let the Word speak for itself. Then they know who he was. They'd know who he was. The letter of the Word in flesh, quoting the Word of the letter, being fully identified with himself. In other words, whatever is in here that is in human flesh that God is using to bring you the understanding of that hour, actually, then that Word in flesh is quoting the printed page right here. See? It's this part that's been brought into view. Okay. Now, look here. Now, let's listen in quote. How now we know that they were all briefed of the late happenings, that is, of the crucifixion, of the story of the resurrection, the tomb, as we just read. Now, he goes straight back to the word of prophecy about himself. Now, let's just think what he said there. He said a lot more than this, but watch. Let's hear him say, turn over to Zechariah 11 and 12. Wasn't the Messiah to be sold according to the prophet 30 pieces of silver? You just said this man was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Turn over. You get in the scripture, Zechariah 11 and 12. Then he said, do you notice what David said in the Psalms? Psalm 41 and 9. He'd be betrayed by his friends, and then again in Zechariah 13:7, forsaken by his disciples. Psalm 35:11, accused by false witnesses. You just said he was. Isaiah 53:7, he was dumb before his accusers. Isaiah 56, they scourged him. The prophet said, Psalms 22, he used to cry on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Did he do that day before yesterday afternoon? Psalm 22, again 18, his garments parted among them. Did they do that? Psalm 22:7-8, mocked by his enemies, the church. Psalm 22, again, not a bone in his body be broke, pierced my hands and my feet. He said, holding his hands behind him, no doubt at the time. Isaiah 53:12 said he died between malefactors. Isaiah 53:9 said he was buried with the rich. Psalm 16 said, I'll not leave his soul in hell, neither suffer my holy one to see corruption. And was not Malachi 3 the forerunner of this man? Well, I'd like to hear him quote that. Why? Because this is the other part of Malachi. Look at the prophecy. Notice, then all the types he might have gone through about Isaac in Genesis 22, how God foreshadowed Isaac, how Father Abraham took his own son, packing wood up the hill and offered up his own son. Now, why did he say that? Because he had to type from Genesis 18 concerning his own ministry and the appearing of God at the just before the burning of Sodom and Gomorrah. You've got to type it. The Sodom condition. Now, you know the Sodom condition today is going to soon throw everybody into a tizzy. I told you the other day, I told you twice now how it is, Reader's Digest. Oh, they're the big authority. Oh, if you want authorities, you know, you just got to get the press. It's just like somebody said, you know, they quoted scripture, they could not see Jesus for the press. You still can't see him for the press. Crooked lawyers and rotten doctors are now the press. Oh, yeah. Oh, they wrote the article. Oh, is it fine? You can live with herpes and still enjoy yourself sexually. Go ahead. Now they got AIDS. Now they're trying to tell you it doesn't pass by body fluids, but it does. Now they finally let you know that the most deaths are caused in L.A. Not Frisco now, but L.A. and New York. AIDS. What's it going to do? It's going to close the restaurants. You won't want to go to restrooms. Dentists are idiots to put their hands in your mouths without gloves. And you're an idiot. They didn't put his hands in without first gloves. It's going to cause more and more trouble. Because this could be that thing that makes cancer look something that's next to nothing. It's got to be brought on because this is part of Sodom and Gomorrah. This is part of your homosexual. Oh, now Los Angeles has passed a wonderful law. They're not afraid of anything. Come on, you AIDS. We want AIDS. Benefits, they mean. Fast food industry had the most homos in it. You think we're not there? Read the book of Romans again, where God gave up to self-destruction. There's only one test where Brother Branham said he's going to purify the earth with flames that will leap hundreds of feet in the air to kill every germ off. He said, we're glorified, it won't matter if we have germs or not. God's smarter than that. He wants ungermed, even though it is glorified members. He doesn't say, well, now you shouldn't go with you. Come on, fat. He didn't say, well, you know, the wolf can't eat the lamb, so I'll throw the lamb over and watch him try to chew on her. He's going to get rid of all that nonsense and that junk. Show me where the tares are going to come up. He said, Brother Brand said, the cactus open up. Well, if that happens, that's good. Which no doubt that would, because he said so, but... I'm looking for something pretty wonderful over there. It won't be what it is here. All the types. It was now beginning to soak into them. He told them they were fools for not looking at the prophecy for that day. Now it began to soak in. Begin to see the fulfilling of all this that had taken place in the last few days, in the last 2 or 3 years. The vindicated prophecy of that age. It was then that they knew that their crucified friend Jesus had fulfilled every word of this. Oh, it was then that they knew that that man truly was Messiah, that he should rise from the dead. The grave couldn't hold him. I will not suffer my Holy One to see corruption. There's not one word of prophecy that ever can fail. And he did rise. See? All right, now look. The prophecy for that day was what? Son of Man. And that prophecy is to return just before Sodom and Gomorrah in Luke 17:30. Now, the point is this. How many people recognize that? Nobody but a prophet. I want you to find one theology anywhere that brings it up and understands. I want you to find one theologian that understands what we understand in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, 15 to 23. I want you to find them for me. You can't do it. They don't know about that spirit coming into the church at the end time. They don't understand. They don't understand the one that comes down from heaven. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven to shout the message. The voice of the archangel giving a revelation. Then that messenger down at the tomb this morning was right. He is risen from the dead. He is alive. He is Messiah. Why? Don't fail it. Now listen, he said, his action, his ministry, and everything he's done has been vindicated exactly the words the prophet said would take place for this day. That's done it. Then they knew that it was he, their crucified friend Jesus, that had done it. No wonder their hearts burned within them as he talked to them. Now they had walked 6 miles, and it seemed like a short time. What about this hour? Because you see, he's running a parallel saying it's exactly the same now as it was then. But remember, it's in the form of the Holy Spirit. He's doing the same thing. And remember, this generation gets the sign of the resurrection, which is what? Doing the same thing. Now, you'll catch that when he tells you, how did they recognize him in that room at Emmaus? He did the same thing.
Amen.
See, you've got to understand this. There's another thing they had done. You know, they had heard a 6-hour sermon on prophecy being vindicated. That's what he talked to them along the road. Just as soon as they started down the road, he stepped out, for he was right there at Jerusalem. 6 hours later, 60 furlongs, they were down the road 6 miles to Emmaus. That's what it was. And he had preached confirming prophecy for 6 hours. Don't condemn me on my three then, see? But notice they had preached. He had a 6-hour sermon on prophecy being confirmed and vindicated. What's he talking about? Hebrews 13:8. Hebrews 13:8 is not Mark 16. Mark 16 is peripheral. Hebrews 13:8 chapter 18 of Genesis. Hebrews 13:8 is Luke 17:30. See, so don't get your Pentecostal ideas in there. Because Janice and Jambers can pull Mark 16 any day of the week. You show me how close Judas was to being part of the Word of God. He fulfilled a part. Ordained to that condemnation. He was mentioned. Name taken out of the book of life. Yes, sir, you can't. There's no problem there. See? All right. Now it's getting toward evening time. You know he's the same yesterday and today and forever. It was then that he opened their eyes to know that Hebrews 13:8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. At the evening time, events are made clear by prophecy. In other words, everything going on in William Branham ministry is already documented here in the Bible, and this Bible is being fulfilled by William Branham's ministry. That is the part for this hour. Not something years ago, but now. At the evening time, events are made clear by prophecy. What does the Bible say? At evening time, it shall be light. What is the light? The word fulfilled before our very eyes, and we know it. What's taking place in the modern hour can easily be identified if you just believe the prophecy of this hour. What is the prophecy? Luke 17:30. Yes. Fool, slow of understanding, slow to believe. Now he says, you keep pondering over it. You know what he's telling you there? A lot of people that say they believe this message keep pondering and pondering and pondering. They don't come to a definitive understanding. They sit on the fence and say, well now, if it comes here, I'll tumble over this side. If it's here, I'll tumble over that side. What if it meets you walking straight down the fence? It's going to kick you off. It won't walk down the fence. You can't sit on the fence. You got to get off. Yes, sir. There's a special road you got to walk. You can't walk it twisting and fumbling around. That's what the high heel slippers indicated a lot of, not just the woman off of her, where God put her. You keep pondering over it. Slow to believe all the prophets said about Messiah, wouldn't it have to happen? Now notice that Jesus is explaining himself being the prophet, the word, being that one he's telling them. Now if he's Hebrews 13:8, he's got to do the same thing today. Now he checked these points all back and showed what the prophet said would happen. Then they began to understand. So how are you and I going to understand? We're going to understand by taking what God in this hour in the form of the Holy Ghost has said through the prophet. These men, he didn't say, sit down here and figure this out. He took them and figured it out for them.
Amen. Yeah.
That's what Revelation is all about. The Holy Ghost figuring it out for us. Then they began to understand. So he acted like he was going to go on by. They liked this man. They said, you've given us something. We never thought of that. He is alive somewhere. They were talking to him and didn't know it. And no doubt he looked at them sadly and started to walk on by. He was waiting for them to invite him. That's what he's waiting tonight, for you to invite him. What's he trying to do? Get back in the church. It's not enough to come out of her. He said, come out of her, my people, that you be not partaker of her sins. That's good. See? Now what's he trying to do? Knock at the door. And if any man hear my voice, now who hears the voice? Those that come out. Now you got to sup with him and be with him. You got to invite him. Now notice when those disciples invited him to their fellowship around the table, it was then that he did something just like he did before his crucifixion, and their eyes came open. Now there's your sign of the resurrection. It doesn't change. See? They said, Peter, how was this done? It said, the one that you killed and crucified and killed, God hath raised him, and now the Holy Spirit is doing that thing. The sign of the resurrection. He's raised from the dead. Now, what did he do before? Well, Brother Branham narrows it down to discernment. Now, that's pitiful. You know why? We don't want that. Now, let's be honest tonight. If you had your way to tell God how to vindicate himself before you, would you have said, would you just discern somebody? Fat. You'd have no more said that than nothing, because you know spiritism can get awful close to it. You know, the spiritism is a phony gift of true prophecy. And discernment can come only to a true prophet. Sure, false prophets get it too. But they can't go down the line with it. They always fall off somewhere. They haven't got thus the Lord. You know why? Because they can't tell it exactly as it's seen, and they can't tell it exactly as it heard. And they can't do it. You check it out. The best man today we know of that's in that type of ministry makes mistakes. William Branham never made a mistake. And there's no way he could. Now, they knew his manner, his style. They knew what he'd done. And he did it just like he did before. And they said, that is he. And quickly they raised up to scream it out, and he vanished. And where they took 6 hours to listen to this sermon, maybe 20 minutes they're light-footing it back to tell the rest of them. He's risen indeed, he's really alive. Friends, now listen about his ministry. Listen carefully now. Friends, this is the fulfillment of Malachi 4. What Malachi 4? Turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. It is Luke 17 and 30. It is John 15, and oh so many. Revelation 10. What's Revelation 10? 1 to 7. The mighty messenger coming down, and the prophet there. So many prophecies that can be pinned exactly to this day. Now, who said so? William Branham said so. Why does he say so? Because Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13 and 8, is doing exactly what Hebrews 13 and 8 demands, which is Luke 17. Which is what? Genesis 18. Sure. And also in the book of Mark and Matthew, where he said these great signs and wonders would appear in the sky. I didn't say Mark 16. He said great signs in the sky. And people call them saucers, flying saucers, can vanish with the power and quickness of a thought. Intelligence that can move in. He can write, he can speak. He can do whatever he wants. What's he talking about? Saucers. Light. The great pillar of fire. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Now listen. And sights coming upon the earth, pyramids, the smoke rising into the air, way above where there cannot be any humidity, nor anything, 30 miles high. There it is right there. Now what did he say it was? Pyramid. That's something like a pyramid. Smoke rising. That is. Like smoke. Vapor. Into the air, 30 miles high. Acts 2:19. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, signs, and there'd be blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Not necessarily in that order. One of those vapor of smoke. No vapor up there. There was. Now, predicted a year and a half before it happened that it would be that way. There it is right there. Then turn the picture and see who it is looking down. Well, you say, Brother Branham, you're grasping at straws. Well, praise God for straws. At least his straws won't break this camel's back, I can tell you that. Pile on the straw. Who's looking down? Now, is this supposed to be a ring of angels? Looks like clouds. Behold, he comes with clouds. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. And, of course, we're going to go in the first chapter. And it says, in verse 7, you are troubled, rest with us, enter a state of relaxation. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flames of fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, that's fine. Sure, it's fine. Now, that word vengeance absolutely is in twofold meaning there. One is like the word vengeance we use. You take anger out on him. The other one is vindication. Who should be punished with the everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, and when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, to be admired in all them that believe. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The day that we go in the rapture is not the day that he destroys the world. The flames of fire do not come forth till the bride's gone. And that's at the very end. There'll be fires and different things take place. But you're looking at something here, a little different. Remember, it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall also appear with him in glory. Now, this is what he was talking about. Then there's got to be this particular time coming when he comes, and Brother Branham said he's the judge. At the same time, he's going to judge both. Judgment will be passed upon the earth. He said, I indict this generation, this little bride. He said, you're the virtuous, sinless bride, the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't even do it in the first place. Now, so he's going to be glorified in his saints and be admired in all them that believe because of our testimony among you that day. Wherefore, we also pray always for you that our God counts you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him according to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and by gathering together unto him. Brother Branham said that was the message. I want to ask you a question. How does the scriptures point out that Jesus does the gathering? Always by prophets. What was he when he was on earth? Prophet. What is he now? Prophet. What is he, Son of Man? Certainly. The great prophet. Remember, he also said, because he is the Son of Man, he's judge. For only the judge can hand the word and interpret it. Pass the sentence. The jury can advise. But God says, I don't call anybody to counsel. I do my own counsel. So who do we see? Now we see the scripture lined up before us here. Now, who is looking down? Not one word has ever failed that's been told. And here's God's written word confirming it's the truth. And remember, it's got to be written in the skies and then dropped down on earth. And it's evening time again. What's evening time? Light. What is the light? There it is right there again. Got to photograph it. I wonder if he would return by grace tonight and do something now like he did back there. Let's pray and ask him. Events made clear by vindicated prophecy. All right? Let's go to 2 Peter and I'm going to close off. Hopefully we can get this finished tomorrow. All right? He says here, in 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 15, Marvel, I would endeavor you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice from this and glory, this is my beloved Son whom I please. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also the word of prophecy made more sure. Now there's something beyond then what he said I saw on the mountain, because I only saw a figure of it. Now he said, you're going to see the real thing. Rather you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place. In other words, it's going to be dark. And if it's going to be dark, it's going to be dark concerning this. men will lose the true revelation of this by the time that Jesus is going to take his bride to himself. They won't have it. As under a dark, as light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arises in your heart. Now, the evening star and morning star is one and the same star in two different categories, two different places. Now, I said that light has got to presage the coming of another day. That's got to be God's day that he never did have. That's the millennium coming up. Now, joke, the millennium cannot start before the bride's caught away. Jesus must appear to her in a glorified form, and she must be glorified. And the day star rise in your hearts. Now, something's got to happen to the hearts of the people at the time that this will take place. The true revival in a bride. What will it be? The hearts of the children turn back to the fathers. What will it be then? A true faith. What will that be? It will be where the bride is not cold, nor is she lukewarm. She's going to be red hot. Absolutely, she'll be red hot. Because God vomits out the lukewarm, and let's face it, he doesn't have any place for the frozen fish. There's no place for it. No way, God's not going to have it. He's going to have a bride that's red hot for him. Now he said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation, for prophecy came in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they're moved by the Holy Ghost. Now he tells you right here, it's absolutely obvious that at the end time there has to be a prophet on the scene. And as Peter said, as Brother Branham said, this man will speak only the words of God which will be contrary to his own understanding. And the prophet said concerning the rapture, he said, the bride is waiting for the revelation. And of course the majority who call themselves brides sat there and said, well, don't give us that nonsense, we've got the revelation. And when he brought the revelation, there's only one place that the people could turn to who did not believe him. And that is this simply. Well, William Branham, you've got a great ministry. And what happened is the ministry is so great you got swell-headed, and therefore the thing is that you made yourself somebody, and because you made yourself somebody, God killed you, as indeed you should have been killed, because you didn't have enough brains to sit quiet with the power of God working, as you can well see in us lovely folk. So therefore you got brought out. Now you tell me I'm wrong, and I tell you, you don't know what's under your nose. Because that's how the comments came. I've talked to those boys, and it's the same to, well, you see, Brother Vail, Brother Brand's a great man. We had something ourselves. Tell me what you had. Tell me what you had. See, you know what? They still cannot place Jesus, Hebrews 13 and 8, which is the prophet. They still can't do it. They still can't do it. How many here tonight can really do it? That your heart is geared down. Where it's not King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. As though that makes you some great worshiper of God. Brother Branham said to be really accepted of God, where God answers back, you've got to give him the right words. And one portion of that was this, Son of Man, Son of God, Son of Man. And if you cannot distinguish that and understand wherein he stood and we now stand, there is something wrong with your experience. Now, brothers, I'm not here to hurt you. I'm not here to hurt anybody. I'm not here to set up walls of defense or to try to get a following. Forget it. If I'd have won the following, I'd have had a bigger church and I'd have had people come around me years ago, the last 20 years. We could have had several hundred by now. I don't know that's really true because I don't think too many people can stand me. Just a few nice people like you. That you're so nice, you'd not get away with anything. But I'm not fooling tonight. I'm telling you the truth. That this is some place you've got to let your minds go. And if you cannot let your minds go, my brother, sister, you're still back where you mustn't be. Your thoughts then cannot be the thoughts of God because they're not the thoughts of the prophet. And you might say, well, Brother Bill, where do you get the idea that your thoughts are the thoughts of the prophet? Because I can take exactly what he said and put it exactly here and weave it back and forth. And you show me where it's wrong. And I haven't come to the rough place that I told you I'd give you tonight. But not tonight, but tomorrow, because I haven't got that far. If I missed it, I'm sorry I missed it, but I don't think I did. Now he said here, The one looking down. It's evening time again. I wonder if he'd return by grace tonight and do something now like he did back there. Let's pray and ask him. Events made clear by vindicated prophecy. Now, what was that great thing that was done? Every single time, it was the woman at the well. Or the woman that touched the garment. Or Sarah in the tent. Every single time. Now, listen. That doesn't look good. Why should he take one scripture? Just because he could do it? No way. Come on. I knew the man better than that. When the man could stand up and say, I challenge you, bring me 24 of your worst cases, guarantee healing. Or stand and say, bring me your worst case, I challenge you, I guarantee healing. And he could have done it time after time after time. That wasn't the sign of the hour. Now, who is better qualified to tell the sign of the hour than the man that God has vindicated? Therefore, there is a simplicity in my sheep know my voice and they follow me. They're too stupid to have their own thoughts, so they let the shepherd do the thinking.
Amen. That's right.
Now, where do the people get their thoughts? Through a prophet. See? The chief shepherd is here. The king is here.
Amen.
The judge is here. All in all is here. The baptizer is here. Still by the grace of God, believing he's saving and baptizing people with the Holy Ghost. I believe they're still coming in. I don't know that they are. One day it's got to close up. But I'm going to tell you, there's no second chance after this because there's no more message of repentance. There's nothing more left to go. The once for all gospel is coming for it. The gospel of the kingdom come around the world. Brother Bassett, I've gone around 7 times myself. Tell me where this word hasn't gone. You say, well, Brother Bill, I just don't know this word is gone. Have you traveled everywhere? We got some boys that do some traveling here, but I can ask them some questions. Where did you go past a few places in Europe? Have you been to Pakistan? It's over there. Have you been to Burma? It's over there. Yugoslavia, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Russia, East Germany, it's there. England, Ireland, Scotland, it's there.
Hallelujah.
You tell me South America's there. Tell me where it isn't. You say, well, just a minute. It's just a few. Well, you expect a lot. How many trains you got running on your railroad track, honey? You haven't got the caboose left anymore. Sounds derailed out somewhere. They make little coffee shops out of it. I think they're cute for my backyard. Except the backyard is too small. No, you see, man blew his wad. Sure, he thought he had the answers. He hasn't got the answers. What's going on right now are the events leading up to the catching away. And if you miss those events, there isn't any catching away. When the Lord himself will come down with the message and put the church in order, and that's not tongues in a little room. That's where she knows the doctrine.
Amen.
And Brother Brad said, he is the doctrine, masterpiece. Sure. Begin to understand these things, brother, sister. And what is that little sign he did back there? The sign of Messiah. Just what he did back there in the days of Abraham. Not the raising of the dead. That's your false anointed. He'll do a lot of things. And I said, God Almighty, help us. Help us, dear God, to understand the things that we should know. Understand thy word. And now, Lord, we have heard sermons now for nearly 2,000 years, writings of books, and this last days here slip right back again, and now it's toward evening time. Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, many of them, down through the ages talk with you, and maybe just along the way of this great day that hasn't been either night or day, as the prophet said in the evening time to be like. Jesus rose from the tomb and appeared to Simon and to the women, showed them he was alive. Now, when you show he's alive, it was at evening time, right? That was the morning, and then in evening time, he come back again. Well, he showed himself first of all in the morning. That's true. Then later on. Evening time he came back in. But he did walk to them through the day, or walk with them through the day, rebuking them for their blindness, but then he made himself known to them in the evening time. Sure, that's right. He rose in the morning. In the evening time he made himself known. Now through the ages, Brother Branham's categorically saying, look, he personally did not make himself known during the ages, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, but as he did in number 1, now in the 7th age, Alpha's Omega, right back to perfection, he has made himself known in the evening time. And he said, God, come into our fellowship tonight. Do you have around the word? God is so scarcely believed today amongst the people, but I'm thankful that there are some that you have called and ordained them to eternal life, and you said all the Father has given me will come to me, and now while the evening lights are shining, while you are permitted, Lord, that not one prophecy out of hundreds that went forth has ever failed one time, then truly if that identifies, it has to be you, because no person could be that accurate. Now that's true. Just like the Bible, no man could write on the space of 1,600 years by 40 different writers, could write and not one error be in it. Dear God, I pray that you will manifest yourself tonight of Hebrews 13 and 8. That you're the same yesterday, day, and forever, and the works that you did then, you do today. And you promised it. You said, now what's Hebrews 13, 8? In this last days, when the world is sitting like Sodom and Gomorrah perversion. There's your Hebrews 13, 8 right there. Just before the burning, before the sun in human flesh comes. Now Sarah and Abraham could not bring him forth in the human form until they were changed in their body, and neither can the bride bring him forth to the wedding supper unless she is changed in her body and caught up in the air. See? Now, we look at these boys just so much like girls wearing clothes like them, and see girls trying to act like boys, and see women and men in this perverted age, see sex appeal has become an idol of worship. The gospel has been pushed out to one side, nakedness, and the other to see a church. Oh God, what an hour. Come, Lord Jesus, make yourself known to us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Now, how did he make himself known? He was a prophet. And he came and revealed the scripture and then proved it. But first of all, you notice he proved before he made anything known. Now, you got the very same thing today. And now, while I have your heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask you something. Do you believe that God is here? Do you believe that these things it's doing today is prophecy fulfilled? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is in yesterday, day, and forever? Do you believe that he was... Now, remember, that's Hebrews 13 and 8 is what that ministry brought forth, not Mark 16, although that's part of it. Do you believe when he was here and manifested in days, manifested in the flesh for that day, the works that he did there were to be repeated again in this day? The prophet said so. The Bible said so. All scripture must be fulfilled. He cannot fail. How did he identify himself? By being that prophet that Moses spoke of, knowing the secrets of the hearts of the people. What prophet today? What prophet today? See, there's the question. People don't want that. They want him to be what? They want him sitting up there on the throne. They want him a third person of the Godhead. They want this and they want that. They don't want the truth. The woman touched his garment. Now he's telling you. He turned and said, thy faith has saved thee. When Simon Peter came, he said, he knew his name, told him who he was, his father was. That same lovely Jesus is not dead, he's alive forevermore. What's the sign of the resurrection now then? Identifying himself by just discernment and miracles and power. Praise be to God. And I believe in this evening time, now he's called us together again. How does he call the people? He calls them by the prophet. How often would I have gathered you, he said, concerning the prophets? Now, we're trying to show you these things, brother, sister, because unless your faith gets down to a simple, basic understanding, I just don't know how in the world you're going to understand this message. Oh, Lord Jesus, come among us. Among, not into us. Don't pass us by. He's not done with the baptism. Come stay all night with us till this night is over, then let us go with you tomorrow, that we might know you in the power of your resurrection. Shout in voice. Because he's here to raise the dead, and the pillar of fire takes them in. Let's go over that again. Come among us. Don't pass by us. Come stay all night with us till this night is over. You see, the day dawn, the day star rise in your hearts. It's evening time. And let us go with you tomorrow. What tomorrow? God's tomorrow. Amen. Millennium. Amen. That we might know you in the power of your resurrection. Now, Brother Branham is gone, but has he gone? No. Now, people get confused. Or is it while he was here when he was here? Who said he left? Brother Branham said that God takes the man but not the spirit. He said a lot of things. Now he said that we might know in the power of your resurrection, that your love and grace and mercy might be with us. O eternal God, grant these things. We know that only God alone can grant them. The psalmist says, let us say, God our Father, our flesh is the poor tabernacle for you. But Lord, let your sanctifying grace, Holy Spirit, come now. Cleanse us of every doubt and every frustration. Every suspicion, every line of skepticism would be in us. And we might be free without one doubt. Come out boldly, confess to Peter, thou art the Christ, the same yesterday, day, and forever. On what grounds? On the grounds of number one discernment. The sign of the prophet. What were the signs and miracles? Vindication. Everything proving that God is here. Everything proving it. No way you can go by. And there he is, exactly the same yesterday and forever. Well, that's enough. We'll finish this up tomorrow, and we won't take up too much. Yeah, I think we can finish this tomorrow. Or can we? Oh my. 5 pages more. Oh, the Lord bless you. Shall we at this time rise? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you tonight for your love, mercy, and grace, O God. Knowing, Lord, that in simplicity, these messages are in simplicity, Lord. That the prophet couldn't have put it plainer, yet he was not allowed, as we know, to say, I am that one, except in one place in New York where he did say it. Could not come out and aggrandize himself, but he could bring the scripture concerning himself. Father, in this last day, we know that you are here. We understand that, and we know that you are not here in the sense that you are in each one of us. Although that is fine. But we know you are here, yourself is here. As the prophet said, come down and set yourself at the head of the church in order to raise the dead. Knowing the Lord himself, descend from him with a shout, the voice of the archangel, trump of God. And we praise you for that tonight, Lord. And we know this one thing, that the devil would try to rob us of it. Would try to cloud our minds from the simplicity. And yet we saw a prophet with a power that historians have to admit was not seen since the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no record of anything as momentous and of the magnitude that we saw in our last day. And only recently, Lord, since the man's been gone all these years, have people risen up to say anything derogatory, which we know from now on there'll be much, much could be said about him that would be very entirely wrong. But here was this man, Lord, who could have said many, many things, and could have stood there, Lord, with the testimony we know that we actually saw manifested in his light, that was not in parallel, and yet stood there with that simple thing, the sign of Messiah, just reading the hearts of people. Lord God, knowing that men would have to come to the place where they either received it, or be in great danger of blasphemy, knowing that if people would say, this is of God, then we know positively the answer comes back, then why did you not listen? Why did you not come into it? Then, Lord, where is a man going to stand? He could stand in the middle of the road, so call himself, and say, well, I didn't know. Where is that going to leave him? Well, we know, Lord, that the one thing that John the Baptist came to do was to give understanding, the misunderstanding, and the lack of knowledge would give way to, and they would know, because he'd been introduced to the Messiah. So, Lord, here we are at this end time. May each one of us, Lord, and I pray for myself as well as I pray for this people. May every single one of us come to the place of a